Yeah, so they were coming out of the water, dripping in gold.
That's what the legend says?
Allegedly, yeah.
Man, that's wild. Hey, bro, you serious?
Oh man, my bad, dog. It was on shuffling.
Hey, I fucking love this song.
What?
Yeah, this shit slaps. She got bangers, you know, for all time. Juicy Day, like shit slaps.
Oh shit, really? Okay, yeah, I like
it. I'm calling for you. I'm calling for you. Listen, I don't know why you're making this weird. You know, you might as well just join and sing along.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Wait, what?
Hey, slow down, bro. You coming in too high.
Dog, what?
Keep your fucking
booster. Soon may the weathermen come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when... Oh, shit!
You think you can come out and pay me back? Ah! Hey, Jesse, pull up.
Oh, God. I think I'm dying. He didn't even shoot me once. That nigga shot me twice. God, why have you forsaken me?
You're listening to season 2 of the greatest podcast on earth. Ayo, D. Will, play the motherfucking music.
To the second season of the It's Just Jokes podcast. My name is Joshua Chapman, aka Slim Ballard, aka Baby Giannis, aka Mr. Take Your Girl in Front Your Face. I am here with my co-hosts. First, Jesse Pink.
Yo, what's good, you ball back?
aka.
I'm back, nigga.
AKA Dolomite P, AKA Baby Samoa Joe, AKA Groovy Grizzly. Why? Because he keeps it raw on you hoes. And Derek Small.
Wrap it up. Remember, I'm your auntie's favorite nephew. It's good to be back. Good to be back.
Why are y'all choosing violence? Like, why? AKA D Smalls, AKA Anthony Mackie Jr., AKA Damn, Derek, where'd you find this pod? Shout out to Dre for the intro music and to D Will for everything behind the scenes. We appreciate you, sir. Toby is not here to start off the season. He got a late, unexpected work call. We're recording this the night before the Super Bowl, so you know it's a very busy time for him. And additionally, for this month, we are kicking off season 2. It is Women's History Month, and so therefore, we want to use this platform in a way to shine light on some very talented women that we think need the spotlight. So joining us today, our first guest for the month is Crystal Gem, AKA Crystal, like the champagne. AKA.
He did not fucking. He did not.
Carry on with your bit. Get it over with. Jesus Christ. Yes.
AKA Chris, don't make you want to jump. AKA, why are you so resistant to this, bro? Like, why can't I do this?
I'm mad that you're so fully, like, you're fully invested in this brand of corn. Like, you're fully invested.
Wow.
Keep going. I need my third one.
AKA. Gemstar Razor and a dinner plate because she's raw like that cocaina. Word to Pusha T. Yuck. Crystal, welcome to the show. That wasn't good. Fuck y'all. That was good.
Yeah, it was, I like that one. I'm with that.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited. I was so super anxious before I like got on here. Like I was definitely muted because I opened up like literally screaming. I'm excited to be here. Hi guys.
Like I was nervous. I was like, which do-rag do I wear today?
I like the coordination.
Yeah, she went orange on orange.
With Spike.
If it's one thing Jesse gonna do, it's gonna be color coordination.
Man, listen, you gonna coordinate the do-rag and the shirt every single time with us.
It's like your favorite uncle, bro, on me.
Nah, but you have the peach crown somewhere in the back too,
nigga. You already know.
mm-mm. Uncles that like coordinate to the tea, they drink Masson. It's peach Paul Mason.
I'll keep that in mind. Let me write that down.
Well, Crystal is on because she has her album coming out for all time. It did drop on the 14th, so Valentine's Day, correct?
Yes.
Yes, and it is on all available platforms, correct?
Yeah, I'm just talking my bitch raw to that shit.
Whoa!
Oh my god, I hope you do! What? Oh my god, good for you!
Time out. Yes! Social media.
I hope you do that. That's how we're good starting for y'all.
That's just how we're starting the episode? We're just
going, okay. Look, man, he said the world need more Scorpios. You know, look.
World needs more love. And that's what this album is doing.
Okay.
I mean, shit, that's what I'm gonna be doing on Valentine's. Let's shoot. Send up, like, we can trade notes or something. Good for
sure,
you.
For sure. All right, though. Let's stop about all the jokes and let's get right straight into the questions.
Look.
Carry on. I'm sorry.
What is this? We opened up like we were on a roll. Like what? Like,
Oh, fuck.
It was so nice before the recording button came on, and then it just.
No, it wasn't. We was harassing Derek.
That was nice though. It was a community, like, you know.
Everybody has actively been choosing violence since we got on here. Maybe I started it. Who cares? We're here now. We're enjoying it. Good for us.
Jesus, Mary.
I love that for us.
Lord have mercy.
All right, Crystal. Well, let me just kick it off real quick. Kick it off real quick with you. So as Josh mentioned, you know, you are a world-renowned future Grammy-nominated and award-winning singer. And
I love artist. This guest. My
question. Yes. A future EGOT winner. Let's not just keep it at the Grammy.
Yes, as we said, multi-talented. So since you're so multi-talented, my question to you is, what inspired you to do the arts, particularly music, acting, singing? I need to know the backstory to that.
I don't think it's disingenuous to call it a source of inspiration. I think it was less a source of inspiration but more of a reason for like existing, and I don't mean that in a like hyperbolic overdramatic way. Like it's been in me since I took my first breath, like dead ass. My parents, when I was really young, like I don't know, I just like didn't talk to people. I was like communicating, you know, like a little alien baby,
like Jabberwocky style, because that's all.
No, like through music and through art. Like I like did not talk to people. So they were like, okay, maybe she's neurodivergent. Like it's going to be a Rayman thing. Like, cause she's not, she clearly is intelligent, but she's actively not talking to people. I didn't like talk to people until I was like, I think 2 or 3, but up until that point, it was all like music, all through song, all through performing. It was how I expressed myself. And then they were like, okay, we have to put her in training for it. Cause clearly that's the only thing that's kind of put the reins on the horse. And so since I was 7, it's what I've been doing. It's what I'm here for. I don't know how else to say it like that. So I've been doing like conservatory style training since I was a kid, and it's, you know, transferred over into my adult life. Now I'm in grad school at an acting conservatory that I did not think I would ever be at. I was doing the opera thing for a long time. Then I was an R&B singer. And then performing in that way wasn't feeding me anymore. I never thought I would be an actor. Then all my music teachers were like, oh, your leg, not bad. You should just go see, throw some shit at the wall and see if it sticks. And it suck. So we're here. And now I'm an actor. It's great.
So you've just been throwing shit at the wall and now you're just waiting for it to stick.
It's sticking pretty good. It's been a good course of action so far. I'm not displeased.
That's true. That's true. If it didn't, you wouldn't be on the world's most critically acclaimed podcast there is. I'm just saying. Just saying.
Boop, 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 boop.
Are you West Side Gun now? Like,
you have the personality of someone who acts and does the arts for sure. Like, you definitely have that spirit for sure. You definitely. Aww.
That was such a nice church mother thing to say. Thank you, baby. I love your spirit too. Thank you, baby.
You're gonna be successful. You just gotta keep going, all right, baby.
It's been placed on my heart to place my hands on you and tell
you. God's gonna move through you, baby.
I just see it.
Ooh, she got the elbows.
I is important.
I am somebody.
Hell no. So how has your Mississippi roots influence your love, interest, and passion for music? Because, you know, that's something, I think you did something with, like, Vogue, right? In Vogue or something like that. It was a different interview that you did, and you talked very much about how your Mississippi roots, like, influence your love, interest, and passion for music, the arts, all that sort of thing. Because you did talk about that heavy in a recent interview that you did.
Yeah, it was for my first interview in LA. And I was like, oh my God, look, mom, I made it. It was Voyage LA. And the thing that, how do I say this? The way that being born and raised in Mississippi specifically has influenced my artistry is that it is inexplicably diverse. It truly is like, and I, it truly is like.
You hit something. No, I was saying like Mississippi's so diverse.
And people it's extremely diverse.
It's extremely diverse.
And rich in culture and rich in history and rich in the kinds of people that you'll meet in the world. Like true, like it's such a privilege to be from here. It really is. Like I got to be in rooms with Black politicians and Black pediatricians and ministers and crackheads all in the same room. And it's an understood for like communal respect because it's like, it's your community. It's your music. It's your life. Like Jute Joint singers are able to have open, honest conversations with the people that file their taxes, with the people that make their drinks, with the people that watch their kids, you know? So being from here has definitely fed a very distinct kind of honesty that I really work to, I don't want to say regurgitate, but make prominent in the things that I'm going to leave behind in this world. One. And two, No, I'll stop it there. Because that was a good answer.
So let's talk about, you know, Los Angeles a little bit as well. So, you know, you're insane. It has to be. Look, they say when you move out there, it's just a really different type of lifestyle. You got to have a certain drive to you. You know, if you don't, you know, things probably won't work in your favor. So for you, you know, being who you are, your endeavors, how has living there furthered your overall talents as an artist? Like what has LA been for you?
It's been fertilizer. Like, I think, in being from here, I was allowed to be myself before I had to figure out the politics of artistry or the politics of Blackness in a way that people that aren't from the Deep South don't always get to do. So I feel like I got to be so much of myself and so cultivated here for the person that I am and not just the things that I can do, which is something that in a working city like LA or like New York or like Atlanta or like any of these other like huge Hollywood kind of like capsules, like you, it's not about who you are. It's about what you can do. So being able to grow into like a big, strong plant and then be thrust out into that crazy kind of market was like fertilizer. It was like, okay, like now you're planted, you're rooted in who you are. So now it's time to bear the fruit of what you've been working for and who you have become. I didn't know how big my wings were until I had all that room to like spread them out and fly around. It's definitely like the old West kind of like thing that you read about in like, I don't know, of Mice and Men type thing where it's like, oh, land of promise and opportunity and there's gold and stuff. And it is, and it is, because it's all right there at your fingertips. Like I can walk to Warner Studios and probably go grab a beer at the corner store in the same hour. You know, that isn't something you get coming from a farming state. So definitely good fertilizer.
Yo, you said Mice and Men. I immediately thought of like the very ending of that book. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Ending, I was like,
I was like, oh damn, that's kind of dark. Like,
well, pick something else. Grapes of Wrath. You know, I don't know.
Oh wow, yeah, Grace of Wrath. yeah, that's good too. Yeah, that's good too. You want to do Huck Finn? That also. That's great.
Hey, just look at the flowers, Crystal. Just look at the flowers.
Stop, not old Yeller. Leave me alone.
No, that was my. That's how it ends. Like he's just like, yeah, look at the flowers, bro. I
associate that old Yeller like.
Hey, there, Arby. Where?
This nigga said Arby's.
You talked about how LA or being in a completely different state where it furthers more of your opportunities was fertilizer for you, right? Helping you grow not only as an artist, but also as a person. So I'm wondering, does that idea of fertilizing influence your work and for all time? And like, what was your process even in creating your upcoming project?
Dang, it would be so good if it was, but dang, alas, tis not. It is not. God, for all time.
Or you can describe the process. I need to understand.
No, I'm trying to make sure I answer you the right way. I think being in LA has influenced the things that come after the music is made. The music was made here. It was not a process that involved any kinds of plans for the future. I had no idea who I was. I didn't think I was gonna make it this far. Like, it was not. And now, you know, that I'm in a place with like awesome friends that like are good at what they do, like now it can be a short film, now it can be a this, now it can be a that, be a play if it wants to be. So it's been good. LA has been good fertilizer for all time, in that I can see it becoming something else now, but that kind of ideology did not influence it at all. Oh my God. It was a 3-year process of breaking up with a boy. And I was so in love, and you never know like what your heart's going to do when you're like going through that. And so I was like writing all these sad songs about him and whoever else I was pretending to be in love with at the time or attracted to at the time, or I don't know, was bored and needed entertainment with at the time. Like, so a much different process and place in life than where we are now. Come on, Jesus, for evolution. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, next steps. Next steps.
Next steps.
Hallelujah.
Well,
big stop. Oh, wow. Ooh. But that's really interesting, though. When you talk about how, you know, how after you create the project, it influences more of your sound. I wonder, that has me thinking about, like, some of my favorite artists. Like, you know, how much, like, their recent project is, like, what they were thinking they're going through before. And then when we hear that, that succeeding project, you know, that's the after process. You know, that's, now this is what they learned after making this project. So
I'm trying to think like who J. Cole comes to mind immediately with that. And so does Kendrick Lamar in a different kind of way.
Especially with
Kendrick, definitely.
The Untitled series like really show that. They really do.
Man. SZA's leaks, her previous mixtapes definitely show that.
Yeah.
Frank. Yeah, like you said, Frank.
Frank. Oh. Frank, oh my God.
Frank's going to take like 3 decades to come back with another album.
And it'll be fire.
It'll be worth it.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that, man. Like, I don't be emotionally prepared to receive Frank Ocean at any point in my life, but especially not when I'm like 80 and considering my own mortality. I don't need Frank Ocean's help with that. You know, I don't know.
Nah, at 80, I'm glad I can push a T. I need to go out blazing. I need to go out there.
Hell no, you gonna play Pooh Shiesty?
Hell yeah.
I heard his last album was good. I haven't heard it yet.
His what?
His last tape. I heard his last tape was good, but I haven't heard it yet.
It's decent. I mean, like, he clearly just took off of what that Dirk feature, just ran with it. I don't blame him, because if I had a Crystal Gem feature on my album, I would have ran with it. I'm just saying.
Facts.
Oh, they do. But I'm glad.
You will saw my ass on Good Morning America. All right, folks, check out my new feature with Crystal Gem.
He's working with Gold Haze too, right? Yes, didn't he just do it? Yeah, he just did a song with Gold Haze. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Damn. No, I'm like, dang, is Gold Haze famous now? Is he going to answer my DMs? I want to be friends with him. I dead ass, like, I want to work with him so bad. He seems so cool. And I like his sound.
Perhaps we can make something happen.
Yes, perhaps. Yes.
Perhaps.
Hey, Gold Haze.
But yeah, so you talked about how For All Time was about you getting through a breakup and all that kind of stuff, and so that was your inspiration. How is it different than anything that you made, and how do you want it to be different from stuff that you might make going forward?
It's different from things that I've made in the past. In content for sure, but most definitely in terms of composition, I finally learned how to use a producer when I first started songwriting at like 14-ish, 15-ish. I just knew I was Sarah Bareilles. I was Lady Gaga, and everything needed a piano and a string orchestra, and all of the lyrics were about esoteric discombobulation and how I was so small and everything else was so big. Like, it was, Jesus Christ. Like, it was all a Hamilton production. And now I feel like I've kind of like been able to understand my recording voice versus my live singing voice very differently. With this album, I was able to figure out what kind of pen sells and what kind of pen sells to a different kind of crowd. I was able to play more with how I compose songs vocally. When I first started like doing this, it was, like I said, like, it was all an aria. It was all Les Mis. And now I'm understanding, like, oh, background vocals and harmonies and layering. And let this be a little diminished. Let this have a lot more reverb. I didn't understand the mechanics going into songwriting and creating music before. And I feel like I was able to figure that out a little better doing this. How do I want it to be different from things I make in the future? Well, first and foremost, I don't never want to be back there in my life again. Because, honey, I'm absolutely too grown for that at this point. One, two.
Passage.
Period. Two. Like, I would hope that my work, even if it continues to be about love or about heartbreak, I would hope that it would evolve to be a more intricate or a more nuanced kind of conversation around that topic. Because this is very, like, I be listening to these songs sometimes, like, girl, you were so 19 when you wrote that, you know? So I would hope to be able to, like, express my feelings and use different, more evolved language to talk about these things or to present these things to an audience. Because I don't want to just be talking to 15, 16-year-olds who absolutely, you know, would receive that kind of conversation. But if your music isn't utilitarian, then I think sometimes you lose, like, it's depth or the amount of people it can reach.
Like authenticity?
Not authenticity, utilitarian, like being able to talk about something so simply and yet so simultaneously nuanced that it doesn't matter who you're talking to, anyone is able to understand and receive it. The greatest good for the greatest number of people type thing.
Nah, that's the skill. And that's just like the greatest skill of, I would say, accessibility, right? Like the greatest form of is simplicity. And so to ever just to make like a simple message, one, make it sound so nuanced, two, then make it so accessible. Only a few artists got that knack. Only a few.
Yeah, like that out. Let's talk about that album. Cause look, those first three songs, that was like
boy.
That was like a Jordan three-peat. Like those first three songs out the gate, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's so crazy.
I'm talking to you.
Nah, bro, that album flat.
No, man, that's the sequencing on it.
The sequence first three, slaps.
I literally was sitting there, I was just like, Okay. And then it transitioned into Juice City, babe. I was like,
Hey, that listen. Transition.
I was like, listen, bro.
Listen, bro. That transition.
the hook alone on Juice City, babe. I was in my Juice City.
Come on, Michelle.
Hey, I was like, I feel like Your Sweet Way was just a very powerful way to start off, like with that song. Like
having that is so funny. Intro.
And then, you know, it kind of livens up a little bit with the second one. And then you're still on that live vibe with Cushion Caffeine. I was like, I kind of thought like it sounded slightly like with the beat and everything, like Smino. A little bit.
I swear to God, bro.
Okay. We've been talking about this in a group chat for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about.
It's confirmed.
It sounded just like a Smino track. It sounded just like
give me my coins.
Yes.
Work with Chris.
No, like that ass. I literally was listening to that.
I need to text her right now to be like,
and I called Jesse. And I was like, bro, like listen to this verse. Who does it sound like right now? He's like, hey, that sound like, you know, Smino. I'm like, exactly like.
But no, yeah, those first. And then, of course, it continues. I'm going to be completely transparent. I really didn't hear Amiss.
Oh, that's sweet.
Personally. Like, I'm just being completely, like, I could literally just sit there and listen to it and was like, hey, run that shit back, Turbo. Like, you know, I had to,
hey, yo, DJ.
had to run that back. So, no, it's a great album. But
thank you.
I kind of know, like, based on those first three, those are kind of, like, my favorites. But what is your favorite song off the album?
Call Me Back, definitely.
Listen, I be playing that shit faithfully around
you. You be singing the backgrounds.
Josh, I hope so. Playing that shit.
That's so funny.
That is my shit.
You do, bro. That's why we use it for the intro skit, like.
Right, I be playing it. I remember I first listened to it. I said, "Bro, this my shit.
I think I wrote that. Oh my! I know exactly. I wrote that my senior year of undergrad. Oh, and I had the hugest crush on this girl. And we went to a pole class together. And I just my mind was gone. I was in love with her. It was a crazy summer. I wanted her to like call me back. I wanted her to call me back. And like, we're still good friends to this day. Like that, the romance. Like we are great as friends, and I love us as friends and as sisters. But man, I'm not even gonna lie. When I first met that woman, I was like, you out we go. That's why it's my favorite song. Like one of the best memories on the tape for me, at least.
For all time, it's probably my favorite. I love the musicality of that song. And then the beat flips at the end. Nigga.
I don't want to be lying to you on accident. I I thought so. So I was really into this South Korean like singer rapper girl, Miso, at the time. And I wanted like a Miso type beat, and I didn't know who else was gonna make it. So I YouTubed it and found it. And that's the thing everybody does where you like just do a type style and now it's a song.
Hey, shout out to you then. Shout out to you. Nice. Listen, you're so animated. And I love it. I get discriminated on this podcast continuously of being animated, and that's all.
Why again? Why again?
I really do appreciate that, but I also do love. I also do love like how so much you talk about your passion for music, your passion for the arts. You know, and a different type of beats or a different type of styles or different type of flows that you try to incorporate into your work. I just want to know, like, who's an artist or what type of groups or what type of sounds, like, influences your musical style? Don't give me the classic Michael, Prince. Don't give me that. Like, give me some real influences.
Are you going to ask me a question in my interview and, like, make demands about my answer? What? So you watch anime? Don't tell me no Dragon Ball Z or Naruto. Okay, gatekeeper. Okay.
First of all, that doesn't even count, because if you say Dragon Ball Z, you a real nigga. Like, you automatically get your real nigga badge.
Now, honey, now, that's a different conversation. So I'm gonna answer your question and be polite. Because Dragon Ball, like, look, I get it. Dragon Ball Z is great or whatever. Everybody wanted Piccolo to be their stepdad. But, like, there are so many better animes than Dragon Ball Z. And I'm going to die on that hill. Fine. Y'all be so wrong and so loud.
Nerds, shut up.
Y'all be so wrong and so loud.
Nerds. We're at Attack on Titan.
Nerd.
So it's fine.
I can't watch it AOT. Like, it's just scary to me. I have a thing for bodies.
I can't let
AOT. So you watch,
One Piece, though.
One Piece is not good because it never ends.
Wow. So that's
like Boruto better than Naruto. Shut up, nerd.
Wow.
I just think it's very telling that this is a cisgender male podcast and y'all are only referencing shonen anime.
Wow.
That's wild.
There's a whole world of shoujo anime and manga that is much more colorful and diverse.
Wow. Not pull that card on us. D-Well, blank this out. Hey, why
D-Well, cut all this shit, nigga.
Cut all this shit.
Accountability scare y'all. I see. Okay. All right.
Wow.
No. You're not gonna spend cycles.
We're not gonna do this today.
Like, hey, Derek knew her mic.
Not calling the host.
You're the whole guest I'm from you.
What did you even ask me? I'm so sorry.
No. Influences.
My influences.
I'll take it back. I'll run it back and ask you for real. So as was mentioned before, you know, you were telling us like your process of your album. You was also telling us like how you create some of the tracks, some of the things that you sampled, and some of the artists or the groups or the musical styles that inspired those processes. So my question to you is, who's the artist that influences your musical style?
I was waiting on the next half of the question. Oh, I love it. Who influences my musical style? Dang, this is hard. I didn't think this would be that hard. Okay. I think for some songwriting aspects, Claro, Jasmine Sullivan, and Keisha Cole for songwriting.
Keisha Cole,
love.
I heard the hurt in her album, and I it makes sense.
It makes sense. It's not fantastic.
Keisha Cole be speaking from the place of hurt.
But her brand of hurt is very different from Mary J. or Fantasia. It's very different. very specific.
That's funny because Jesse's influence is OC Genesis, so you guys got a song in common.
Yeah, we gotta do this.
Okay. Oh wait. Okay. Let me just answer. So that songwriting, I think, for like vocal composition, like how I like arrange things musically. Who deals a lot with like flowy chords and do Whitney Houston. I love her. That was my 80s drum. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Thank you. A little bit of Whitney Houston. I think sometimes Rihanna, and I also think sometimes Beyonce, with the way I do harmonies and stuff, harmonies and flows.
Period.
Rihanna.
Not Derek with the neck snap. That's hilarious, bro.
It's very accentuated because of your hoodie. Like, I dig it. It's giving morph suit vibes, actually.
Head. Why every guess we get on your head, Derek?
I'm so sorry.
I guess I just, like, once I come on the screen, it's just like, this nigga look like he like to get bullied. It's like, what?
You gotta fight. I be trying to tell you, bro. It's like The Last Dance all over again, bro. Fight back, stand up for yourself.
Stop being Scott Burrell. Fight back.
Stop it.
Turn into Steve Kerr. You said stop
being. Yeah, exactly. Just one time. One good punch. You be good. My question to you is, would you consider yourself an artist, a musician, or a storyteller? And is there really a difference in your eyes?
God, these questions feel so like church. Like they feel like they're digging so deep.
That's what we do here on this podcast. We dig deep.
I just really appreciate you guys taking the time out to consider this. Am I more of an artist? Do I consider myself more of an artist, musician, or storyteller? Is there a real difference in my eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, making sure I get it. God damn. Y'all, and I want to like give you a real answer. I'm torn between artist and storyteller. And the reason that I am is because like I don't want to diminish the role of either, if that makes sense. Shoot. At present, I consider myself an artist. I've been dealt a good hand in terms of gifts. I'm very multifaceted and I'm good at what I do. I like to say, like, I'm a jack of all trades, a master of none, but that's not true. I really, truly try to master the things that I do. But because I don't always understand the vessel in which to put those very big gifts, I think that is what separates me from right now where I am in my development, being a true storyteller, which is what I think like humans are put here to do. And that's like the final level you're supposed to be in the game of life, and then you can die. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to leave behind a legacy that says something, that tells a story of where we're from, who we are, why we think we're here. Like, that's the only reason we know anything about anything, is because people have been telling stories. But I don't think I'm there yet. And so I think I'm at the level before that, which is embodying what an artist is, someone that cares very much about the things that they work for and who they work for and how they do it. But it's still trying to figure out the best vessel to put those gifts in. Yeah. And I think that's the separation, as far as I can see. I don't want to say musician or any of those other things because they're way too specific and don't fully encapsulate like all the stuff God was like, here, girl, you got it. So I'm an artist. What can I say?
Smashing.
Thank you.
Smashing monologue.
No, that was honestly a great answer. Like, the weaving in all those different things that you do, there's just so many different ways to tell those stories. And of course, they're going to be different in those different arenas. So, you know, you just have to kind of pick and choose what side of Crystal comes out for this versus this. So I totally get it. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, thanks, dear.
Heard you say you were multifaceted, which I agree with, because once again, that album. She was fire, dog. She was fire.
What's your favorite track?
Damn near the first one. I ain't gonna hold you. It was either that one. Which one is the one that had like the lo-fi beat? One of them had like a lo-fi type beat. I forget what it was.
That's exactly what I typed for that shit too. Lo-fi type. I listen
to lo-fi YouTube streams every day when I'm working.
I think it is the first one then.
It is.
Probably is, because I remember like, damn, this is just like I'm at work. Like, I'm just literally just...
Man, that's a great way to open up the album.
Chef's kiss.
Josh, help me with the order, y'all. I think, like, were you waiting for me to say that? Is that what you've been thinking for me to say this whole time?
Oh, I didn't know you were going to bring that up.
Oh, you're so annoying. Hello, oh, Josh. My God.
I didn't. I'm so...
me? What? That's crazy. Shut up. The
episode of It's Just Jokes is sponsored by Cornball. Yes.
Corn. I mean, boo.
Wow. Tell me how you really feel, Jesse. You're supposed to be my man. It's like, we didn't come all the way back. You know what I'm saying? Ninth grade, 10th grade. Now you want to switch up.
But for real, Josh and I met 5 years ago?
Dude, I don't even know. 5, maybe 6, somewhere around that timeline.
What?
5, maybe 6 years ago at the Children's Defense Fund's annual retreat at the Alex Haley Farm. And he was in Freedom School, and I was in a group that I was way too young to be in. But it was fine. We met there, and we've been friends ever since. And I trust his opinion very much as a fellow artist and writer. So I was like, I'm really insecure. Will you listen to my album? And it's not mastered yet, but it's on SoundCloud. And just will you tell me like what I should do? And he was like, yeah, it's telling such a story, but it could be so much more profound if you do it like this. And I didn't want to agree with it, but I was like, yeah, he's right. He helped me figure out the track list. Thanks, A&R.
I'm dead. Yeah. I can hear y'all. So no, you have to put this song first, actually, because see the way this song starts, then it ends and it goes into this. Look, all right.
No, I just think it's a good idea, and it's just a suggestion. You know, you don't have to do it, but I really do think it will make such a huge improvement to what you already have. It's a great foundation.
Ooh. Well, I mean, shit. Was I wrong though? Was I wrong?
Apparently, it slaps. So I guess you weren't that wrong.
It was good beforehand. It slaps now, bruh.
You've got a good foundation. Yeah, I know. Thanks, Josh.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing for a completely different reason. Ooh. So sorry.
Ooh. I really do appreciate you. Thank you. For real.
Like a kid on TikTok. Like, yeah. All right. But now, you said you were multifaceted. With that being said, you know, you do, like you said, you do a lot of different things. But I'm going to make you choose here. Which one do you prefer, acting or making music? I'm
not answering that. Come on. Come on.
You got to give us an answer. Come on. You can't just leave us hanging.
I don't have to do anything but be black and die one day, Derek. I can't.
That's pessimistic, but okay. True.
I've never been able to pick. Even like in undergrad, I double majored in studio art and music, and that was absolutely too much of a workload. But I didn't want to have to give one thing up for the other because I was like, well, I'm still gonna be able. But I had to, because otherwise I would have worked myself to death. I think it's the same. It's kind of like akin to the answer of the previous question. Like, whatever is going to fit me for the day is what's my favorite for the day. And because I have an arsenal of things to choose from, I can have a different favorite thing the next day. I've never been able to pick. I enjoy it all too much to be able to pick. But if I had to pick a favorite kid, it'd be acting for sure. Because I get to do everything.
For some reason.
Whatever.
For some reason, I knew you were going to say
that. You're such a theater kid. Like, it makes so much sense.
Bro, I literally said the same thing the other day.
Such a theater kid. A theater kid knows a theater kid. You are definitely flamboyant.
But I was never in theater. I'd never. This is new. I was in one play in undergrad. This is the first full body, full investment, like, acting experience I've ever had. I've been doing music since I was 7. I've been making art since I was 7. Like, this is new. So I'm just glad it's working out. I didn't even know I could do it. Thanks God. Like, it's like, I choose acting to be my favorite thing because you get to do all of it. If I want to act as an artist, I can just do that. Like, if I want to be in a production and like write the music for it and sing it and design the, I could. You don't get to do everything with every art form, and this is one that allows you the room to, if it's, you know, a part of your skill set.
Okay. Well, hey. That's actually interesting. I just never would have known. I was just like, she's definitely a theater kid.
Nope,
never.
I had a lot of friends in theater, but no. You.
But listen, we talked a lot about like your musical process. Talked a lot about how much Derek loves your album. talked about all of this. I just want to know what's the one crucial message that listeners should get after listening to For All Time?
Did you hear the train?
Nice question. Nice.
Good job, Jesse.
Huh. But I know art is for interpretation, you know, I understand that. But
yeah.
This is your debut album, or this is your statement album, I would say. I always say debut albums or statement albums. So like, what should listeners leave thinking about you, thinking about Crystal Gem after listening to For All Time?
I just want to make sure I'm on the same. You asked two different things. What should they consider about me, and what is the message they should take away? Is that two separate questions?
No, they're not two separate questions. I was just making sure I had the main question, which was what should listeners expect? Obtain after listening to For All Time? And I was just following that up with explaining that question.
That's I got all. You. Yeah. Thanks. I think. I hope that post listening to For All Time in full, that people walk away from it with understanding that this too shall pass. like I called it For All Time because I know that like, when you truly deeply love someone, like beyond words, like even if like it doesn't work out between you, even if, you know, the relationship fails, like the memories that you have and the feelings that you felt and the capacity that you now know that you have to love someone else is something that will exist for all time. Yay! So it's like, I hope that they leave listening to this album knowing that like however wherever you are in at this point in your emotional development or your love life or your professional life or even your identity journey, like this too shall pass. And I don't mean that in a dismissive way. Like I'm 24, I don't know everything at all, but it's also very comforting and a little encouraging to know that yeah, you're going to keep growing for all time. You're going to know how to love for all time. You're going to, but also know that this is a phase, one phase of many. And I hope the next one is absolutely fantastic for you and for myself.
This nigga.
Last time is a mighty long time, man.
You're spitting. Man. She was bar. Another bar.
I think I'm going to pray after this.
I'm going to go to Erno after this, goddamn. I'm going to be Moesha in this mother.
I definitely did yoga before I came here.
I'm here. Dear Diary, my therapy session with Crystal went well.
Are you there, God? It's me, Jesse.
It's me again. I'm trying to get the other messages, but
now you writing him like Stan wrote Eminem.
Yikes.
All right, last question for you, Crystal. We got a special edition of One Gotta Go. We've been doing this with our guests. This is
choices.
This is Two Gotta Go. So I'm going to give you six artists. You got to keep four of them, two male, two female.
Wait.
You ready?
Wait, I need to write this down because you know I'll forget. Let me make sure I got my... All right, come on. Let's do it. What is this glass ceiling? Like, what is this? Jesse was like, don't give me no... He set parameters for the answers I could give. You're giving me more.
You will wipe that out.
What is
hey, just put a redacted over that one, Devo. Just put a redacted. All right, you ready?
Come on.
All right, so your artists are Luther.
Do.
Stevie Wonder.
He can't see.
Marvin Gaye. Whitney.
Oh, Nippy.
Mariah Carey. And Anita Baker. So you got to keep two men, two women's.
Wow.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm fine with letting Marvin go. Cry about it, John.
Hold on. Hold on real quick. Tell me what's going on.
Hey, bro, you funny as fuck. Hey, bro, you funny as
That was so, that was what's going so on?
That was so bad, but it worked. That was so terrible.
What?
Oh my god.
Yo, how did you think of that like that, nigga? Like, did you have one of them written down for each person? Like,
I literally
no, I'm talking to him. Did you have that like written down for each person? Like
I did not.
Oh. Okay, so you're getting rid of Marvin. Yeah. Which one of Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, or Anita Baker are you getting rid of?
Ooh, wee. One of them is called The Voice. Like, that would just be blasphemous. Like, I don't want to go burn up in hell with y'all niggas, so Whitney's staying on the list.
But who's leaving, Crystal?
I know. Okay. What is this pressure? Okay, Mariah can go. Marvin and Mariah, let them go. They're done.
But y'all belong together. I don't understand this
shit. Look. Mimi was indeed emancipated, and I love that for her.
I don't understand this.
I love that for her. Okay. Look. Well, now hold on. Everybody, let's rethink this. Everybody calm down. Like, Whitney's not leaving. Okay, so, like, it's a twofold thing. Like, Mariah definitely, like, she pushed the boundaries of what we believe, like, live performing could be. But, you know, I'm not going to, like, pretend like she doesn't, I don't know. I'm kind of, you know. No, yeah. She's leaving.
Would you argue what I said. That Mariah Carey is a stronger live performer than studio artist?
No.
Mm-hmm. You said that with the quickness. You're like, nigga, no. What?
No. No attitude about it. Like, Whitney's staying on the list because, like, her voice was so dynamic and so...
I mean, Whitney's Whitney. You ain't got to...
Right. Okay, great. Like, Mariah, the reason I don't think she's a more powerful live versus recording artist has nothing to do with like my opinion of her voice or anything. It's just no, like I don't know. I don't be excited to like, I got Mariah Carey live. Like, her high notes are going to sound the same on, like, they're going to be just as impressive, but absolutely, you know, but
right.
Like, if I have the option to go be moved by Mariah or Anita Baker, I know who I want to go cry in front of more. And it's Anita.
Like, right. You can't get rid of Sweet Love, bro.
Like, Mariah, like, I don't think she's strong, like, necessarily stronger performing live or in a recording studio. Also, how are we contextualizing live? Because you can put a filter on your mic for anything. Just saying.
All right. Well, she just wanted to show up. Thank you so much, Crystal, for coming on to the It's Just Jokes podcast. We appreciate you. Is there anything else you would like to say?
Are you trying to give her the boot?
Yeah. She just wanted to show off, man.
I did not want to show off. Man.
She just had a run for no reason. Nah.
Marvin leaves the list because I'm pretty sure he was a sexual predator. No. Is there anything I want to say leaving this podcast?
You can give us your socials.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, my gosh. I'm really bad at, like, wrapping things up. Oh, okay.
I have so many failed relationships.
Fuck, I walked into that.
I'm sorry.
All time is available now.
I mean, look, no, it's okay. We brought it around full circle. We brought it around full circle, bro. We talked about this opening up, and this how we, bro.
Is this how we're starting season two? Oh, God.
Fuck.
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
I wish I was more mature. I'm not. It makes me laugh. I'm so sorry.
Season two is about to be wild. Now, Crystal, thank you for thank you for being here. Thank you for spending your time with us three goofballs, RIP Kobe. Could you please tell us where can the faithful viewers follow you on your social media?
I am everywhere at Crystal Gem Muse, Crystal with a K, KrystalGem, like the Gemini I am, and Muse, like the thing that I'm pretty sure I am, Muse. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, not LinkedIn,
TikTok.
And TikTok, yeah, I'm on TikTok. Well, Witch Talk, hashtag Witch Talk. Thank you all so much for having me. I can't wait to continue to listen to the podcast. I can't wait to listen to this album. Can't wait to work with Gold Haze. I can't wait for Josh to meet his kid, man. I hope that y'all have a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Excuse me?
What?
All right, folks, let's go into it for season.
Whoa. What was that?
Hey,
let me see my son.
Oh, Crystal. RP to my boy, Corey, Kobe.
Let me see my son.
You're the one that's been hiding your kid from your audience since season one, dog.
Let me see my son, damn it.
He tried to tell me he ain't have one. See, I be knowing things.
You see, this is another example. If you're trying to bring the black man down, all right? This is why we can't build as a community, right? Because you always attack.
Somebody get him.
I'm going to turn my camera off. I'm not going to be associated with this.
This is Bob the Builder.
I'm not going to be associated with this. Nope.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Just Jokes.
Crystal, we appreciate you coming on. Thank you all for listening. Please go listen to For All Time on all streaming platforms. And as always, give us 5 stars and a great review. For Jesse Pink, for Derek Small, and for Kobe Price, even though he's not here, thank you guys so much. Thank you to D. Will for everything behind the scenes. We appreciate you, sir. And thank you to King Boy and Jay Alzier for the outro music. We will catch you guys next time. Scorpio. Bye.
We back, baby.
For all time.